If you would turn to page 141 in your book. Last week's epistle reading explained how Jesus Christ's high priesthood was superior to the Old Testament priesthood because his work was superior. And again, that sort of priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek, the final words of today's reading. So keep in mind now that we're going to be talking about a similar topic. And I'm starting to lose my voice. Holy Week is in 2 weeks. Pardon me. The choirs did great without me. That's often not good for job security, but they were great. So anyway, we're going to kind of go through line by line, but if you follow today's reading, it says God promised Abraham some stuff. So you got to know, God promised Abraham many things. God promised Abraham that he would have a son. God promised Abraham that he would bless him and multiply him. God added an oath to that promise. God swore to himself, namely to his holiness or to his truth or to his glory. And this is apparent from other oaths that God made to David, Isaiah, and others. So, you know, when people swear, they say, swear to God, right? I swear to God this. Okay, so God couldn't say, you know, I mean, he swore to who? He swore to himself. So that's what it means. He swore to himself. It means the higher authority. Well, there was no higher authority. So how should we understand God swearing oaths when we hear God teaching in the gospel not to swear oaths at all? Okay? It seems like a contradiction. And in the Bible, we come across words used about God, like that God blew into the nostrils of Adam, okay? Or that God planted a garden, you know, or he walked in paradise. Okay, we read that in Genesis, right? God doesn't have a body when he did those things, okay? So these words are used to help our weak mind to somehow understand a little bit about God and what he did, okay? So when the Bible says God swore an oath, we should understand this simply to indicate God's sure and irrevocable decision. Because in human speak, if we wanted to say something is super sure and irrevocable, we say there was an oath involved, right? The Greek text of the oath is pretty clear. The English text, not so much. It says here, he swore to himself saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. So surely, those aren't words of an oath, okay? If you look at the Greek, though, it says, imin evlogon evlogisose plithinon plithinose. So the imin in Greek is the way in the old Greek that you start an oath. Whatever that actually means. I mean, those are the words. It's like, I swear that, and then surely I will do these things. Okay? In any case, it's an oath. So God promised Abraham a lot of things, but Paul says that Abraham, having patiently endured, obtained the promise. So referring to one promise in particular, and that would be the promise of having a son, namely Isaac. This was the supreme promise because all the other promises depended on that one. It was from Isaac that Jacob was born, and from Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, which produced David, and from David descended the Virgin Mary, who became the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son and Logos, Word of God, who became incarnate of her, and thus, according to the flesh, became the son or descendant of Abraham. Okay? That is how Abraham is the ancestor or forefather of Jesus Christ, and how the promises were fulfilled that in his seed or in his offspring and his descendants, namely, it says, in his offspring, namely Jesus Christ, all the nations would be blessed, And his descendants, namely all Christians throughout the ages, would greatly multiply. After all, it is Jesus Christ who gave all people the ability to become children of God, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 12. These are the offspring of Abraham by faith, who are spiritually adopted and blessed together with faithful Abraham. Then Paul resumes speaking about the oath. People normally swear by someone or something greater than themselves, as we said, in order to give assurance and stifle any doubt or contradiction regarding what was said or promised. That's the point of attaching an oath, is to, you know, there's no debate. This is for sure, I promise, and there's no going back. So God wanted to do just that, namely give assurance to those who would come after Abraham. As it says here, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise means the descendants of Abraham, and in this case, the descendants by faith, meaning those who would believe like he did in the coming of the Lord, namely us Christians. We inherit the promise. Not that it is completely fulfilled yet, but we have it as a solemn promise of God. We are the heirs of that promise. God desired, it says, to show more convincingly the unchangeable character of his purpose, so he interposed with an oath. God wanted to remove any doubt regarding that promise, so he added the oath to his promise. And then Paul says, so that through two unchangeable things, namely the promise and the oath that was attached to it, we who have fled for refuge, namely we who have believed the gospel, which includes the promise, might have strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us. And what is the hope set before us? Reconciliation with God and eternal life with him. This is accomplished by our Lord's ministry as our high priest, namely his life, teaching, sacrifice, death, resurrection, ascension, sitting at the right hand of the Father, of God the Father, and sending the Holy Spirit. As our high priest, St. Paul says, he went behind the curtain. This is not a reference to the Wizard of Oz, but to the Old Testament temple, where the curtain blocked the entrance to the Holy of Holies. I'm sure you've read it, as we all read the Old Testament from time to time, where only the high priest would go to pray for the people, and which symbolized heaven. Jesus, our high priest, with his human body, ascended and crossed over into heaven and opened now the way for the rest of us. That hope and faith in Jesus Christ, that he has done this for us, is the sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. So that is the point of today's reading, to assure us that God wants us to have no doubt about his promises, and that they are real and true and will all be fulfilled eventually.